Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Brachas Daf Mem. Right on top on the first line says the Gemara Amar Rav, Toil Broich, and it's Erech Levarich. Now we know if one makes a bracha prior to eating or before fulfilling a mitzvah, he's meant to stay focused on the task in hand, not to be mafsik, not to interrupt unnecessarily. If one interrupts with words, that is considered to be hasach hadas, diversion of one's attention, and it would require one to repeat the bracha again. Says the Gemara, if one made a bracha of hamotzi for a group of people, and prior to him partaking in the bread, he announces, toil baroich, take the slice of bracha, the slice of bread that the bracha was recited on. That is not considered to be a hefsek. Why? As Rashi says, these words, atzorech bracha, are for the benefit, are essential for the bracha. He's passing them their slices, which is actually a fulfillment of the bracha when they eat the slice of bread that the bracha was recited on. So that's not considered to be a hefsek, and does not require him to repeat the bracha again. Again, says the Gemara, Amar Rav, toil broich, in etzorech levarich. However, Havi Melach, Havi Lifton, Tzorech Levarich, if he announces, bring the salt, bring the relish to eat with the bread, that is considered to be a hefsek, and he must make the bracha again. Rabbi Yechon Omar, Afilu Havi Melach, Havi Lifton, Nami Ein Tzorech Levarich, even announcing, bring the salt or the relish, that too is not considered to be a hefsek. Why? Because that also is Letzorech Bracha, so that the slice of bracha should be eaten with greater enjoyment. So that's also not considered to be a hefsek, and he does not need to repeat the bracha again. However, Gova Leturi, if he announces, go knead the bran with the water for feeding of the oxen, Gova Leturi, Tzarech Levarach, that is not essential, and that is considered to be a hefsek, which requires him to repeat the bracha again. Rav Sheshe Samar, Afilu Gova Leturi Nami in the Tzarech Levarach, that also is not considered to be an interruption, which would require him to repeat the bracha again. Why? The Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Aser La Adam Sheyechal. One may not eat Koidem Sheyitin Machal Bemtoi prior to him feeding his animals. Shanamar Vernasati Esav Besachal Bemtecha. Hashem says, I will give grass in your field for the sake of your animals. And then the Bahadar, it says, Vachalta Vesavata, you eat and be satiated. So apparently Hashem picked this sequence to teach us that first one is responsible to feed his animals, and only then can he partake in his meal. So therefore, according to Sheshes, giving the order to prepare the food for the animals, that is essential for one's meal, and therefore is not considered to be a hefsek. So in summary, we have three shitas. Rav tells us, toil broich, that is not a hefsek. Rav Yechon adds, even announcing, bring the salt or the relish, that is also not a hefsek. According to Rav Sheshes, even saying, go prepare the food for the animals, that also is not considered to be a hefsek. Now this is all if he speaks out, l'chatchila, preferably one is not meant to speak out at all in between the bracha and eating, if it is not necessary to do so. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, Bar Shmuel, Mishnah Rav Chiya. Eina b'yitzei rash levtzoya, if one makes a bracha on behalf of a group of people, he should wait prior to making the bracha, ad sheyaviu melech ha'liftan lefnei kol echad ve'echad, until they bring forth the salt and the relish to all in attendance. Why? So this way they won't have to wait between the bracha and eating. This way, they'll avoid making a hefsek. So you should wait, let them bring the melech and the liftan first, then he'll make his bracha, and this will allow everybody to begin eating right away. Says the Gemara, Rav Bar Shmuel, Ikluz Reish Galusa, Rav Bar Shmuel himself came to the house of Reish Galusa, Apiku Lerifta, they served him bread, Ubatza Lehedya, and he made the bracha immediately, he didn't wait for anything. Amrulay, so they told him, Hadar Ma Mishmaita, have you retracted from your own ruling? Amalei, so he told them, this is different. Leizdein, this type of bread which is of higher quality, Leizdein Tzorech B'shash, this doesn't require any delay for the arrival of salt or relish. One may eat this, make a bracha, and eat it right away. This is very tasty without any additional components. Tosis points out that nowadays as well, our grain is more refined and our bread is considered to be of superior quality and tasty even without the addition of salt or relish. However, Tosis points out there's another reason to bring salt on the table. It protects us from the Satan. The salt symbolizes our bond the bond between Yisrael and Hashem, the bris melach, just the salt doesn't spoil, so too our bond, our connection with Hashem is eternal, and this protects us. The place can bring another reason, that the table of a Yid is equated to a mizbeach, and just as the korban on the mizbeach required salt, so too our table should have salt. The Mishnah Berurah brings it in the name of the Baal Kabbalah, one should dip his bread in salt. So these are reasons above and beyond the basic reason of making the bread more enjoyable and tasty, which is referred to in the Al-Gemar. Continues the Gemara of Amar Rav Bar Shmuel Mishum Rav Chiya. The Gemara here will have a list of directives, of pieces of advice, which are basically health related. Number one is, Ein Meraglaim Kolim Ela B'Yeshiva. Meraglaim, urination, only gets completely exhausted only when one urinates sitting down, B'Yeshiva. As Rashi explains, when one is ba'amida, then one is concerned when the stream weakens and gets closer to him, that nitzaitzitz will spray on his feet, the droplets of the meraglaim will spray on him. Therefore, he doesn't allow it to completely exhaust. So preferably one should do meraglaim be yeshiva where this concern is not present. If he has soft earth which absorbs meraglaim, then even standing up is not a concern since there's no spraying of the meraglaim. If he doesn't have soft earth, he should stand on a high, elevated place, and be mashed and urinate onto an incline which slopes away from him, where there's no concern of any droplets spraying on him. Continues the Gemara. After you eat food, you should eat salt. After you drink, you should drink water. This will protect you from harm. So it's beneficial to one's health. Tani nami yachah, we learned a similar braisa. Acha kol achilascha, echal melach. Vacha kol shliyascha, shesei mayim. Vi'i ata nizak, you will not be harmed. Tani idach, we have another braisa which says, acha kol macha, v'lo yachal melach. If one eats all types of food, but does not eat salt, shasa kol mashkim, v'lo shasa mayim, drinks all kinds of beverages without water. Bayayim yidak v'narecha peh, by day he should be concerned about bad breath. Ubalaila yidak me askara. At night, you should be concerned about the illness of askara. So, salt and water are beneficial to one's health. The Ramah speaks out that if one's food contains salt already, or if one's beverage contains water, then this is not a concern. Said the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hamak v'achilasi b'mayim. If one makes his food float in water, he drinks a lot of water and washes the food, so he doesn't come to illness of the intestines. How much water should one drink to wash away his food? Amar Chizda, kitan lepas, a full jug of water for a loaf of bread. Amar Mora Yechanan, haragel badashim, one who's accustomed to eat lentils achas shloshim yom, once in 30 days, bonei askra mitech beisa, he prevents the illness of askra from his home. As Rashi explains, Asher comes as a result of constipation, and Adashim lentils act as a laxative. Says the Gemara, okay, once in a while he should have Adashim, but not too often. Aval kol yoy maloy, not every day. My time and why? Mishum de kosh l'reich ha-peh. It is harmful to bring reich ha-peh, a bad odor, a bad breath. V'amar mari, amar v'yechanan, haragul b'chardol. One is accustomed to eating chardol mustard, achas l'shashim yoyim, once in 30 days. That too is beneficial. Manei chalayim techbeis, he prevents sicknesses from his home, but don't overdo it. Aval kol yoyim maloy, not every day. My time amshon the kosher l'chol shod liba, it can bring weakness to one's heart. Kedin is the Gemara. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi. Amar Rav haragel b'dagim tanim. One is accustomed to eating small fish. Eini boil dechalim yayim. He prevents a sickness of his intestines. V'lo yoyd. Not only that, these little fish are so beneficial. El shadagim tanim mafin or marbin. They cause one to multiply, to increase. Or marvin kol guf shel adam. They are marvin. They enhance the health, they strengthen the guf of a person. Finally, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chama bar Chanina, haragel bet ketzach, one who is accustomed to eating ketzach, which is fennel, eini bol de kave lev, he will not come to kave lev, to heartache. Meisvei, says the Gemara, we have a brisa, which seems to indicate that fennel is not really such a good thing to get involved with. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, ketzach is echad mi shishim samoni amavis, Hu. It is one of these 60 poisons. Vayoshan lemizach garnai. If one decides to sleep on the east side of the garden of the pile of this ketzach, of this fennel, Dami Bereshe, his blood is in his head, meaning he's responsible if subsequent to this behavior, he dies. So a person is not meant to sleep on the east side of the Geirin, of the pile of Ketzach, Rashi explains, since the wind coming from the west, the westerly wind, is moist and heavy and carries the effect of this fennel to the person. Apparently, fennel is not something good. Says the Gemara, Kasha is not difficult. Depends what? The odor, the smell of the fennel is poisonous, is dangerous. However, the flavor, the taste, that is good and beneficial. Imed Rav Yirmiyah, the mother of Yirmiyah, afyali rifta, she would bake him a bread, and she would stick the ketzach, the fennel, onto the bread, so that the bread absorbs the taste, the flavor of the ketzach, and then after she would peel it off, so that he doesn't get the odor of the ketzach. So in summary, we have a list of good pieces of advice. Number one was the halacha, that a beitzea, one who makes a bracha on behalf of the crowd, he needs to wait until they bring the melech and the liftan to all of them. Then we learned about meraglayim, preferably it should be done by yeshiva, sitting down, or with afa techayach, soft and absorbent earth, or next to an incline, a madroin, which is sloping away from him, which carries no concern about any traces of droplets landing on his feet. The Gemara continued and said, after one's meal, he should eat melach. After one drinks, he should drink mayim. And as Rama pointed out, this is when his ordinary food doesn't contain salt, and when his beverage doesn't contain water. But in that case, he already fulfills this concept by having salt as an ingredient in his food, and his beverage containing water. The Gemara continued that lentils are good once in 30 days, so is mustard. Small fish, dogen tanim, are very beneficial. And ketzach, fennel, the taste is good, but not the odor. Continues the Gemara, Rabbi Daimer, Bayri Minit Deshaim. Rabbi Da holds, one is not meant to make a general bracha on all produce coming from the ground, but rather you must be specific and make a bracha on every subcategory. For instance, herbage, cabbage, requires Bayramina Deshaim. Seeds, lentils, grains require Bayramina Deshaim. Amar Abzeira, Vitein Rav Chinah Papa, and Alcha Rida. The Alcha does not follow Rav Yudah's opinion. We make one general bracha on the entire category of the Pri Ha'adama. Vamar Abzeira, Vitein Rav Chinah Papa, my time in the Rida, what is the reason for Rav Yudah's Shita that requires a specific bracha on every subcategory? Amar Ka, because the Pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim. Bless Hashem every day, says the Gemara. What does it mean, yoim yoim? Mecheba yoim mevarach noisai. We only bench Hashem by day. Huba laila in mevarach noisai, not at night. Ela loim alach, the pasuk that tells us, Baruch Hashem yoim yoim tells us, kol yoim v'yoim, every single day, tein loim yoim v'chaysav. Your praise to Hashem should reflect the bracha of that day. The bracha, the blessing that Hashem bestows on us on that day, it should reflect the nature of that day. As Rashi explains, on Shabbos, the praise of Shabbos reflects the nature of Shabbos. On Yom Tov, we praise Hashem, and our praise reflects the nature of Yom Tov. Hachanami here too, kol min v'min, every specific species, tein lo yimei b'chosav, you should praise Hashem, and your praise should reflect that specific type of bracha, of blessing that Hashem bestows on us. Therefore, every subcategory gets its own bracha. V'amar abzeiro, v'tein rochim ha'papa. Come take a look at the contrast between Shalai Kimidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the characteristic, the behavior of Hashem is unlike the Midas Basar Adam, the characteristic, the behavior of a human being. Midas Basar Adam, the behavior of one who is flesh and blood, a human being. In the physical realm, we find that Kli Reikon Machzik, an empty vessel, can contain, you can fill it. However, Mole, if the vessel is already full, Eini Machzik, you can't fill it anymore. There's no room for more. Ava Kadosh Baruch Inikin, but Hashem is not so. In the spiritual realms, things work differently. Mole Machzik, one who is full, he is filled with Chachmas Hashem, with spirituality. That in turn breeds more, that attracts more. Mole Machzik, one who is filled with spirit, with ruchnius, he can receive more. However, reikon, if he's empty, if he's devoid of spirituality, of ruchnius, he is a physical person. Einei machzik. He doesn't attract chachma, he doesn't attract wisdom, he doesn't attract spirituality. Shenemar, as it says, vayoyimem shemaya tishma, if you will listen and listen, what is this double expression? We expound as follows. Vidarshan im shemaya, if you have already heard when you were young, when you were younger, you made sure to absorb chachmas Hashem, you learned Torah, tishma. When you get older, when you grow older, you will indeed be zeicha to hear more, to learn more Torah. Vimlav, but what if you, when you were young, you neglect it, you ignore Torah, leishishma. When you get older, you will not have the opportunity to do so. So if one willingly neglects Torah at an early stage, he will not be zeicha to have more Torah later on. So we see that Torah breeds more Torah. The Varacha, another drasha is im shemoya b'yoshan. If one makes sure to review, to chazer, everything that he already learned, his old Torah, tishma b'chadash, he will merit to absorb more, to grow in his Torah knowledge, to appreciate the depth of the Torah that he has already learned. The point of reviewing is not only to commit it to long-term memory, to review merely the words, the fact, but in Torah it works differently. When one reviews and learns again and again the same material, he always will gain a deeper insight, a new observation. That is im shamaya b'yashan, tishma b'chadash, you will learn something new. V'im nifna levavcha, but if your heart strays, shuv leisishma, you will not learn anything new. Says the Gemara, Beirach al peiros ilan, beir pri adam yatsa. If one make a bracha on peiros ilan, on tree fruits, instead of the proper bracha of eitz, he made a beir pri adam yatsa, he fulfilled his obligation. However, al peiros ha'aretz, if one on fruit from the earth makes a bracha beir pri eitz, lo yatsa, he's not fulfilled his obligation. Va'al kulam, but on any type of food, imama shakol niya b'dvar yatsa, if one makes a bracha of shahakol, which is an all-encompassing bracha, it's a bracha klolis, shakol, nyabadvari, everything came about through Hashem's words. He's yaitzi, fulfilled his obligation. So, l'chatchila, certainly one is meant to recite a proper bracha on tree fruit, ha'etz, on fruit coming from the ground, on vegetables, etc., hadama, on food that is neither coming from the tree nor from the adama, one is meant to say shakol. But b'di evet, if he switches things around, he can be yaitza if he says hadama on a fruit tree, on a fruit from a tree, but not if he says ha'etz on a vegetable growing from the ground. As the mission concludes, the bircha shahakel can b'dieved be applied to anything. It says, mantana, who is this opinion? Who holds? The ikir ilan arahi, that fundamentally the tree is really the ground. We said in the Mishnah that if one makes a bracha on a fruit that grows on a tree, he makes a bracha of ha'adama, he's yaitza. Because although the fruit is attributed to the tree is the one that produces the fruit. So the chatchil, one is merely meant to make ha'etz, and not adama. But b'di evet, if one goes and makes adama on a fruit growing from a tree, he's yaitze. Why? Because ultimately, where is the fruit coming from? Where is the nourishment originating from? The tree is really subordinate to the ground. So really, technically speaking, the adama, the earth, is really producing the fruit. So who is this mandamar? Who holds this type of svara? That ultimately the tree really belongs to the ground, is buttled to the ground, subordinate to the ground, and therefore if one recites a hadama, a bari pri adama on a tree fruit, he's yoytze. Says the Gemara, not everybody agrees with this. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. This is not as we learned. Yovesh hamayan, the stream got dried up. V'niktza seilan, the tree got chopped down. Maybe v'nikari, you can bring his bikurim without reciting the parsha's bikurim. Since one is meant to thank Hashem for the adama that produces the produce. Now, if this man's stream that's feeding his field gets dried up, he's out of business. His land can't produce anymore. Similarly, if the tree fruit that he's bringing to the Beis Hamikdash, now the tree that produces the fruit is no longer, it got chopped down. So you can't praise and thank anymore Hashem anymore for the thing that it's producing, that produces this fruit of Bikurim. So he can bring it, but he can't recite the Parshas Bikurim, since the thing that's producing it is no longer in business. That is the shita of the Tanakama. So we see, according to the Tanakama, what is producing the fruit? The tree itself. Therefore, when the tree is no longer, he can bring the Bikurim, but he can't thank Hashem for giving him the thing that produces the fruit, because it's no longer. However, he can bring the Bikurim and even recite the parashas Bikurim and thank Hashem for giving him the land that produces these items. Since according to Ravida's view, the producer is technically the land itself. Therefore, even if there's no stream of water, he still has the land. Even if there's no tree, he still has the land, the Adama, the earth, that ultimately is producing the fruit. Therefore, according to Yehuda, if one recites Iber Pri Adama on a tree fruit, he has been Yotzei, fulfilled his obligation. So this is Shitas Rav Yehuda, but not Shitas Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, one must recite Iber Pri Eitz specifically, because it is the tree that's producing the fruit. And therefore, he cannot be Yotzei by merely saying Iber Pri Adama. Continues the Gemara. Our Peres Haaretz, if one recites on Peres Haaretz, fruit emanating from the ground, he recites instead of Bari Pri Adama, he says Bari Pri Eitz, Lo Yatza, he wasn't Yatza. He says, Mar Pshita, of course. That is simple. Why would you think that one recites Bari Pri Eitz on produce coming from the Adama, he should be Yatza? Says the Gemara of Rav Nachman Ritzach, Litzrucha, the Mishnah is coming to teach us, according to Rav Yehuda, Ela Rav Yehuda, the Amar Chita Min Ilanhi. Rav Yehuda maintains that a stalk of wheat is a min ilan, it's considered to be a tree. The Sani, as we learned, ilan sh'achal men adam rishon. What was the tree, the Eitz Hadas? What was it? The Torah doesn't describe exactly what it was. What type of tree was it? Says the Gemara of Me'ah Omer Gefen Haya. It was a vine. Why? She'en l'chadover. There's nothing. She'mevi lola l'adam, that brings wailing to humanity, ela yayin. More than wine. She'nemar v'yesh men hayayin v'yishkar. Noyach drank from the wine, he became intoxicated, and this brought shame and embarrassment, ultimately brought the klal, the curse on Canaan. So we see that wine can bring bad things. So Rabbi says, it's a nistaver. It is reasonable to say that the tree that brought about the tremendous tragedy on humankind, the misa, mortality to humanity, that must have been the vine that brings wailing to us, brings yalala. Therefore, Rameyam maintains that the Eitz Hadas was a vine. Rav Nechemya, Imetenoi, so it was actually a fig. Because we find that Adam and Chava used the leaves of Eitena, of a fig tree, to cover themselves. So apparently that was the tree that brought tragedy, that brought kilkul, that brought ruin. And therefore that tree itself turned around and helped them out. That they were ruined by Nitkinu, they became remedied, they became fixed. They sowed the leaves of the fig tree. So according to Rav Nechemya, the Eitz Hadas was a fig tree. Finally, Rido Eimer, what was the Eitz Hadas? Chita Isa. It was a wheat, a stalk of wheat. Since we know that in the development of a child's intelligence, to the extent that he can start speaking words, his first words generally being Abba Vima, father, mother, that coincides, that stage of development of his intelligence coincides with his first taste of grain, Achiyitim Tam Dog, until he tastes grain. And Chita is the primary grain. So it appears that it would be appropriate that the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, was a Chita. So according to Yehuda, Chita is considered to be an Eitz. Now, although a Chita is a very modest and humble a plant, doesn't look like a tree, the Mefarshim explain that it's called a chita, a ilan, on account of the fact that in the future, a wheat stalk will grow to the size of a tree. So in any case, according to Yehuda, chita is considered to be an ilan. Therefore, says the Gemara, Sabgadai Techamina, therefore I would think, Hoyavam Rav Yehuda, chita min ilhu, read the whole that a chita is from a tree species, Levarach Levar Pri Eitz, therefore the appropriate bracha is Eitz, Kamash Malan, the Mishnah teaches us, no, that even a chita, since it comes from the ground, the appropriate bracha is Bayer Pri Adama. So that is the meaning of this halacha in the Mishnah. That if one recites on Peres Haaretz, he recites a Bayer Pri Eitz, referring to a Chita, which even according to Rav Yehuda is considered to be an Eitz. Nevertheless, the appropriate bracha is Adama. If one recites a Eitz, he has not fulfilled his obligation. So the Gemara, why? Why not? The answer is because Bayer Pri Adama is to be recited only on a tree that has a specific type of characteristic. Bari Pre'etz is meant to be recited on a tree that has a different type of characteristic. Says the Gemara, Heichem Arachin Bari Pre'etz, when is Bari Pre'etz appropriate and required? Heicha Dechishakas Leil Peiro, when you pick the fruit off the branch, Isa Legav Zevad Demapik. That branch sticks around till next year and produces fruit again. So that is considered to be that the branch, the tree is producing the fruit. It is Bari Pre'etz. Aval, but in the case of Heicha Dechishakas Leil Peiro, once you remove the fruit, less Legav Zevad Demapik, the branch doesn't come around next year to produce fruit again. In that case, the fruit is attributed to the earth, to the ground, and the proper bracha is merachin alei bayi pri eitz. We do not recite eitz, but rather ella bayi pri ha'adama. The tree, the plant is not significant. The branch is not significant enough. Therefore, we attribute the fruit back to the earth, and the proper bracha is bayi pri ha'adama. So, in summary, the Mishnah taught us a couple of halachas. On produce emanating from the ground, from the earth, the appropriate bracha is ha'adama. If one will recite ha'etz, he's not yetze. Even a chita requires a ha'adama, and ha'etz is not valid. The Mishnah taught us, however, on a fruit coming from a tree, if one will recite ha'adama, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he fulfilled his obligation. Since ultimately it's the ground that produces the fruit, according to Rabbanon, he has not fulfilled his obligation. Continues the Gemara of Al-Kulan, Mamar Shahakol, on any type of food, if one recites Shahakol, which is a general bracha, it is valid, he has fulfilled his chiv, he was yaitzi. Itman we learned, Rav Huna, Machutz min ha-pas min ha-yayin. This halacha applies to any type of food except for two, bread and wine. Explains Rashash why. Since these two are significant, achashav, they require their own specific bracha, ha-moitzi on bread, ha-gofen on wine, therefore we cannot be yaitzi with a general bracha of Shahakol. Rav Yechon Omar, no, even wine and bread. If one recites a shahakol, he fulfilled his obligation. Says the Gemara, name a ketanoi. Perhaps this is connected to a different machlokes tanoi. Ra pas v'amar, one sees bread and he says, kama no pasu, how pleasant is this bread? Baruch hamakom shebara, blessed is Hashem who created it. Or yatsa, he fulfilled his obligation by merely saying these words. It is equivalent to a bracha. Ra te'ena v'amar, he sees a fig and he says, kama no te'enezu, how pleasant is this fig? Baruch hamakom shebara, blessed is Hashem who created it. Yatsa, he fulfilled his obligation. Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yosef, no. Ko amah shanem imatbeh shetav hacham bebracha. It's one who deviates from the formulation that the Chachamim prescribed for brachas. He's Mishana, he deviates from the matzbeah, from the coin, meaning this formula, Shetav Chachamim brachas, that the Chachamim have established for brachas. He's not fulfilled his obligation. You can't just compose your own text. Says the Gemara, apparently these two machlekes are not related. Name what we can suggest. Rav Huna said that Shahakol cannot be applied to bread and wine. He's following according to the Shita of Rav Yosi, who says that if one deviates from the accepted formula, he's not Yaitse. So he's following the Shita of Rav Yosi. Rav Yechon says that even regarding bread and wine, if one were to say Hashakol, he's Yaitse. He's following the opinion of Rav Meir, who says a similar halacha, that if one recites his own personal composition on bread, he's Yaitse. So apparently these two things are connected. So as we want to know, Amalach Rav Huna says, no, let's differentiate the two things. Ana da'amri afilu Rav Meir. Let's make a distinction. I follow even Rav Meir. Why? Atkan lak Rav Meir hasa. Rav Meir only says this halach that one is yaitze when he says, kama no pazeh, baruch hamakom shebara. That's only over there. Why? Because that's unique. Heicha eleicha dekamat kishmei depas. It's only over there because he makes mention of the bread. He says, kama no pas. But by us, when he merely says a shahakol without mentioning the bread and the wine, avaleicha dekamat kishmei depas, if he doesn't mention the wine or the bread, I feel Rameh moide, even Rameh will agree that this bracha is not valid. Rabbi Yechon also will say, I know that I'm Rafael Rabbi Yossi. I'm in agreement, even for Rabbi Yossi. Atkan lakam Rabbi Yossi Hassam. Rabbi Yossi only over there says that if one deviates, he's not Yossi. Elam Hashem, the Kama Bracha, the Tkin Rabbanon. Because he composed his own bracha. He didn't recite a bracha which was established by the Rabbanon. Therefore, he doesn't fulfill his obligation by saying those words. But in our case, Aval Omer Shakol Mitvari, the Tkin Rabbanon. But if one recites an accepted bracha, a shakol, even if it's not really the appropriate bracha, even Rabbi Yosi will agree that by reciting Shahakol even on bread and wine, he's completely fulfilled his obligation. So in conclusion, we have two separate disputes, two separate machlokes. Number one, between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. If one recited shahakol on bread or wine, according to Rav Huna, is not yotze. According to Rav Yochanan, is yotze. Now we have another machlokes regarding if one composed his own composition. He said, Baruch Hamakim Shebara. In that case, is he yotze or not? According to Rav Meir, is yotze. Because he said, Kamana Pazeh Baruch Hamakim Shebara, that is sufficient. According to Rav Yosi, he deviated from the Matbeh Shtav HaChamim, from the accepted formula, and it's not yotze. The Gemara said that these two discussions are not necessarily connected. In Rav Meir's case, it is unique since he mentions the pas. Therefore, he's yotze. In Rav Yosi's case, it is so different because he completely deviated. He made his own bracha. And therefore, that is worse than merely reciting shahakol. Continues Gemara with the story, Binyamin Rai, Binyamin the shepherd, Korach Rifti, ate his bread, and following his meal, he composed his own unique Berachas HaMazon. V'Amar, he said, Berich Mari, blessed is the master that I eat of this bread. Amar Rav, Yatza, he fulfilled his obligation for Berachas HaMazon. Says the Gemara, how could that be so? V'Amar Rav, didn't Rav teach us? Kol Bracha Hashem Ba'azkaras Hashem, any bracha that doesn't contain mention of Hashem's name, and a bracha is not a valid bracha. And Binyamin didn't mention Hashem's name. Says the Gemara, he did. Indeed, he said, the Amar Brich Rachmana blesses the merciful Hashem, Mari Dai Pita, the master of this bread. Says the Gemara, but one second, he only made one bracha. For Brichas HaMazon, we need three. Vabina Sholesh brachas. Brichas HaMazon consists of three brachas. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ma Yatza, the Kama Rav, Nami. What did Rav mean when he said Yatza? Yatza, Bracha Rishayna. He fulfilled his obligation for the first bracha, Brichas HaMazon, which thanks Hashem for the food. Says the Gemara, if so, Maika Mashmalan, what is Rav teaching us? Rav is teaching you that if one recited Birch Samazin in a language other than Lashon Kodesh, he fulfills his obligation. We know that from elsewhere. Tanina, we learned. These things can be recited in any language. Parsha Saita, the parsha that we read to the Saita, Vidi Meiser, the confession of Meiser, or Kriya Shema, Utfila, Ubircha Samazin. So we see that Birch Samazin can be recited in any language. Says Zumar Itzrich. Nevertheless, Rav needs to teach us. Perhaps I would think, Hanimili, this allowance is only the Amr B'Lashon Chol when one recites Birchas HaMazon in a foreign language, in the exact manner, using the exact words as the Rabban established to be said in Lashon Kodesh. He's merely translating it. But in a case of a loy Amr B'Lashon Chol, but if he doesn't say it in Lashon Chol, he doesn't say it in the same manner, he composes his own formulation, just like as Binyamin did. Perhaps that is not good. Kamash Malan Rav teaches us, even in that case, he's Yotze. Go for what we just learned. Amar Rav. Called Bracha Hashem Ba'azkaras Hashem in a Bracha. A Bracha that doesn't contain mentioning Hashem's name is not valid. Rabbi Yechon Amar, that's not enough. Called Bracha Hashem Ba'azkaras Malchus in a Bracha. In addition to mentioning Hashem's name, he must mention the Malchus, the kingship of Hashem, Melech Olam. Amar Rabbi Kavasi Darv Mistavar, it is reasonable to follow Rav's opinion that all is required is Hashem's name. That's not as we learned in the Mishnah. When a person makes vidi maisa, he says, I haven't transgressed your mitzvahs, I haven't forgotten. What is this referring to? I have neglected to make the bracha when I removed, when I was mafresh from mitzvahs. I haven't forgotten. From mentioning your name during that bracha. Vilu malchus like tani. And there's no mention in this Mishnah regarding malchus. Apparently, Hashem's name is a vital component in a bracha, but not malchus. Rabbi Yechon will respond and say, Tani, let's amend and interpret the Mishnah as follows. V'lei shachachti, I am forgotten. Milahaske shimcha, from mentioning the name of Hashem, u'malchus chalav, and also your kingship, when I recited the bracha. Those are two required elements in a bracha. The name of Hashem, and also malchus of Hashem. Continues the Mishnah. V'aldov Hashem gedulim in arts, anything that doesn't grow from the ground. Oymer shakol niya b'dvari, he recites shahakol niya b'dvari. Ala chaymetz, for instance, on vinegar, vala noivlois, the Gemara will explain what this means, vala goivai, on locusts, oimer, shakol niya b'dvari. Rabbi Yehuda oimer? No. Kol shem in klala, anything that is a min, a species of curse, ein revarach nalav, we don't make a bracha on it at all. For instance, vinegar that is spoiled wine, or locusts that come, devour the produce in the fields, that is considered to be a cursed min, a min klala. Things that have a negative association and a bracha, which is something positive, is not meant to be said on these items. Concludes the Mishnah. One have many species before him. If amongst them is from the Shiva Saminim, all of them Varach, on that he's meant to make the bracha. No. He may make the bracha on anyone which he chooses. On things that don't grow from the ground, if you're going basar, behemoth, meat of domesticated animals, chayos, meat of wild animals, vaivas, of fowl, v'dogam, and fish, oimer shakol nevedvari. Ala chol of milk, ala beitz, and eggs, ala gvinan, cheese, oimer shakol. Ala pas sheivsha. Bread that initially requires hamoitzi, but it got moldy, it got ruined. Or ala yayin shekrim, wine, which ordinarily requires a yagofen, but it got spoiled. Ala tav shalei disha, it's rosa, it got spoiled. On these items, since they got changed for the worse, now the bracha is oimer shakol. Ala melech on salt, ala zamis on brine, val kmeinu pitris on mushrooms, oimer shakol. Apparently, says the Gemara Memra, the kmeinu pitris, mushrooms lav gadol karkaninu, are not considered to be growing from the ground. Vatani, haven't we learned a brisa that says hanoydim peiros haaretz, one who made a vow neither to refrain from peiros haaretz, also peiros haaretz, he may not eat fruit that come from the ground, vegetables, anything that grows from the ground, umuta bekmeinu pitris. He is allowed to eat mushrooms. Why? Because they're not considered to be peiros haaretz. But v'imamar kol gedula karkalai, anything that grows from the ground, anything that has a growth from the ground, I will refrain from. Also, afbekmeinu pitros. Then he may not even eat mushrooms. So apparently, mushrooms are considered to be gedula karka. And this is in contradiction to our Mishnah. Says Gemara Abaye, you're right. Mirba rabu mara, they grow from the ground. The moisture emanates from the ground, which produces these mushrooms. However, they don't get a direct connection, direct sustenance from the ground. They're perched on various objects, wood, kalim. They get their moisture from the ground, but it's not a direct connection. Therefore, regarding a nether, if one says, I will refrain from peiros haaretz are referring to those that are directly connected to the ground and not mushrooms. However, if he says, anything that grows from the ground enables them to grow, that includes kmeinu pitris. So that resolves, that explains the Mishnah by neder. Says the Gemara, 1 second. In our Mishnah by brachos, what does it say? What wording does the Mishnah use? Vaha al davash ein gedulah min haaretz katani. The Mishnah says, something that is not gedulah min haaretz requires a shakal. You just told me that mushrooms are gedulah min haaretz. They do grow from moisture which comes from the ground. So why do they require shahakal? Says the Gemara, Tani, let's amend and interpret the Mishnah as follows. What are things that require shahakal? Al-dova she'yoynek minaret, something which doesn't get a direct, unique, direct sustenance from the ground, that requires a shahakal. And indeed, mushrooms fall into that category, because although they grow from moisture which emanates from the ground, but they're not yoynek minaret, they don't get a direct sustenance from the ground, and therefore their bracha is shahakal. Va'al ha'noivles, they too require shakal. What exactly, my noivles, what are they? Rav Machlek is between Rav Zeira and Rav Lo. Chadama one says, Bushle Kmara, these are dates that were scorched, burnt by the sun. Vachadama one says, Tamei Dezika, dates that were blown away by the wind. Says the Gemara, Tanan, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Kol Shu Min Klala, anything that is a Min Klala, Eimer Baruch Olam doesn't require any bracha. And Rav Yehuda is referring to those three items, Chaimetz vinegar, noivles, and Goivai. Says the Gemara, Bishleim el manda omar, it's all well according to the sheet that it says. What is noivles? Bushli kmara. Dates that were scorched, ruined by the sun. If so, hainei dekar, le min klala. That's why Rav Yehuda refers to them as a min klala. That's they're ruined. Ela le manda matamar dezika. According to the one that says, what is noivles? Plain dates, good quality dates that were blown off the tree by the wind. So they didn't ripe completely, but they're still good quality. If so, my min klala. What does Rav Yehuda, why does Rav Yehuda refer to them as a min klala? Says gemara shara. Review that when he says min klal, he's referring to the other two items, the vinegar, which is wine that was spoiled, the locust, but not two noivles. Ikad Amri, some say as follows. Bishlam, it's all well according to Lamanda Omar Bushli Kmara, that noivles is referring to scorched by the sun. That's why according to the Tanakama, the bracha shakal, although a date requires her eights, but since now got ruined for the worst by the sun, it went down a level, and the shakal is appropriate. El, mandam atamar dezika, the noivles are good days that were blown away by the wind. Why do we say shakal? By praising by levruche, they're good quality, ha'is is appropriate. Says the Gemara, okay, now we must change. Ella must be, but noivles stoma, when we have a term called noivois, when the Mishnah mentions the word noivois without any additional description, like an Al Mishnah, Kuli Amlo Plig, everybody agrees that it's referring to Bushli Kamarninu. It's referring to dates that were scorched by the sun. Therefore, the noivois and Al Mishnah are those type of dates that were ruined, and therefore they are considered a min klala, and therefore the bracha is shahako because they were changed for the worst. Ki Pligi, this machlokes that we mentioned, regarding the definition of noivois, that is only benoivois tamara. When the term neglis tamar is used, as we find, it's not as we find in the Mishnah. Hakal and Shabbat Demai. Demai is produce brought from a Amoritz, an unlearned fellow, were uncertain about whether he removed the tumas and maestris. Therefore, the Chachamim required one to be mafrish with certain halachas, as discussed in Mesechas Demai. That's why it's called Demai. Demai, what is this? We're uncertain regarding its status. Now, there are some items that are called Hakal and Shabbat Demai, the lenient ones. Since they are poor quality, they're of low value, and the Amoritz has no incentive to cheat, and therefore we assume that he indeed was mafresh tumas maisis regarding the following list of products: hashisin, varimin, vozradin, meshuach, meshikma, v'guf, v'nitzva, v'negus tomorrow. What do these things mean? Says Zimar Shitin, Amar Rav Chanav Yochanan, min te'enim, a type of cheap figs. What is rimin? Kandi. What is vozradin? Tulshi. What is meshuach? Amar Rav Chanav Yochanan, te'eni chivers, so some white figs. What is meshikma? Amar Rav Chanav Yochanan, dovi. What is gufnin? Shul higufni, those end of season poor quality grapes. What is nitzva? What is parcha? And what is noivlis tomorrow? Now we have a machlekes. Rav Eloi, Rav Zera. Chad Amar noivlis tomorrow means bushli kamra, those scorched by the sun, the days that were scorched by the sun. Chad Amar tamar dezika, days that were blown off by the wind. So in conclusion, when it says noivlis plain, we're referring to days that were scorched by the sun, as an Al Mishnah. When the Mishnah says noivlis tomorrow, then we have a machlekes. Says the Gemara, okay, Bishlei Manda Amar Bushlei Kmara, that the Mishnah Demai that says Noivlis Tamara are part of from Demai, and we're speaking about Bushlei Kmara, days that were scorched by the sun. If so, we understand the Mishnah properly. Highly dictonic. That's why the Mishnah says Hakal Shabbat Demai Sveikinu the Pater. These that we are uncertain regarding their status, so they're Pater, because we assume that being that they're so cheap and low in value, that Ma'aretz did the Tumas HaMaisis. But we imply from here that if one knows for sure that they are tevel, that no truma or maisa was removed, they are indeed obligated. Havada and chayav. We're chayav to remove truma and maisa from these dates that were scorched by the sun. El alamanda matami dezika, that noivlis tomorrow is referring to dates that were blown away by the wind. How could you say that vado and chayav? If they are vade tevel, we know for sure that truma and maisa was not taken from them. They are obligated. Tefker ninu. These things that were blown away by the wind have a din hefker. Since the owner was mafker, he lets go of these things. He gives up on them since they're blown away by the wind, so they remain ownerless. So how can we say that they're chayim and tumas maisis? We know that something that is hefker is pater from tumas maisis, exempt. Says Zmarach Mayaskin, and we're speaking about Shason Goyren. He gathered these dates, he made from it a pile, and they are obligated at least midrabbanan. Domer Mitzvah Rav Yechanan from Lezer Yaakov. Halecha Devashika Peya. These are items that belong to the ani, to the poor person. Leket, when a person harvests and he drops something, that stalk goes to the poor man. Shikho, he forgets part of it in the field. Apeya, a corner of the field, that belongs to the ani, and we know that these items are exempt from tumas maisis. But, however, if he goes ahead and he gathers them together, shason goyren, he gathers them into a pile, hook full of maisis, it becomes fixed. They're chayav maisis from the rabbanon, since the rabbanon were concerned that an onlooker will see, oh, a full-fledged pile of produce is part of a miser, so the chacham will mechayiv midrabanan. So that's the explanation here too. Noivlis tomorrow, days that are blowing by the wind are hefker, but if one decides to make them into a pile, into a goyren, they are chayiv midrabanan. Ikadamr, there's another version in the Gemara regarding this discussion. Bishleim alamandam atamr dezika. It's all well according to the sheet that says that noivlis tomorrow mentioned in that Mishnah and Demai are dates blown away by the wind. If so, we understand the discrepancy in terminology between that Mishnah and our Mishnah and Brachas. Hainu, that's why. That's why by us and our Mishnah referring to Noivlis, which is burnt dates that were scorched by the sun. That's why the Mishnah says Noivlis tomorrow. Because we're referring to the scorched ones. Vahasam, and over there by Dmai, Karlei tomorrow. That's why over there the Mishnah says Noivlis tomorrow, because we're referring to an entirely different type of thing, dates that were blown away by the wind. That's why over here the Mishnah uses the word noivlis in reference to days that were scorched by the sun. Over there it's noivlis tomorrow because it's days blown away by the wind. El mandam bushlei kmara, but according to the sheet that says that the term Noibas Tmara in Dmai, as well as referring to scorched by the sun, Nisni Dividi Noibas Tmara. So what's the discrepancy? Why is there a difference in terminology? Both Mishnahs, by us and Brachis, and over there in Dmai, are referring to the same item, dates that were scorched by the sun. So why the difference in description? Nisni Idivi Idi Noibas Tmara. Both places the Mishnah should say Noibas Tmara, or Oyi Idivi Idi Noibas Tmara. In both places the Mishnah should merely say Noibas. Kasha. It is indeed difficult. So in summary, we have a number of items that are shakol niyav b'dvaray. Number one, we have the basar, the chalav, the gvina, the beitzim that are not gedulei karka, and therefore they require shakol. We have pas she'ipsha, bread, which ordinarily requires a hamaitzi, but when it gets spoiled and ruined, it goes down to shakol. It's something regarding wine that got spoiled, or a dish, shubat sarasai. Next down the list is melach v'zamis, even though these are items that not necessarily people would eat, but since occasionally one does eat them, they require shahakol. And kmeina pitres, these are the mushrooms that are gedalim in akark, although they receive their nourishment indirectly from the ground, but nevertheless they're not yainik min akark, they're not directly connected to the ground. It is not a direct nourishment, and therefore they too are shahakol. Finally, we have items that are simen klala, like chaymetz, wine that turned into vinegar, noivlois, which the Gemara concluded to mean bushle kamra, the dates that were scorched by the sun, and goivai, the locusts, the grasshoppers, according to Tanakama, they too require shahakul. However, according to Rav Yehuda, since they are min klala, we do not make a bracha on them, they have a negative association, and a bracha is meant to be a positive thing, and only meant to be said on things with a positive nature.